KPR.com/gamechangers.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, working with local partners like Via Christi, Pawnee Mental Health, and area health departments to expand care for uninsured patients. More information at mhkfreeclinic.com.
A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect till 9 o'clock for Allen, Linn, Neosho, and Wilson counties. It's 84 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks so much for spending part of your evening with us. Coming up in just about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines. At just about 6:36, we will learn what we know at this point about the man who's about to be nominated to be the next director of national intelligence. It's a man named Jake Clayton. We will also go inside the big New York Knicks fandom. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Give Campus, a fundraising platform helping over 1,500 colleges, universities, and independent schools identify, engage, and steward donors. More information at givecampus.com.
A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 9 o'clock tonight for a portion of the KPR listening area. That's Allen, Linn, Neosho, and Wilson counties. It's going to be clear tonight for pretty much everyone else, less humid than we've seen in the last few days. Lows in the upper 50s, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 80s, heavy rain set to move in on Saturday.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Women's Center, offering a variety of women's health services for patients of all ages. More information is available at lmh.org.
Eighty-four degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Emporia, 83 in Atchison. You are listening to KPR, Kansas Public Radio. It's 6:20.
Return to full-scale war. That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. It's a great way to start your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from the Free State Festival, presenting a screening of the documentary Nova 78 about William S. Burroughs, showing on June 28th at Liberty Hall. Details at freestatefestival.org.
Up next, we have news headlines in just about 40 seconds. We do still have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 9 o'clock tonight for the southernmost listeners to KPR out of our Chanute transmitter, Allen, Linn, Neosho, and Wilson counties.
A grateful nation pays its debts to veterans. It does not send them an invoice. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. There's been a lot of debate on whether the state of Kansas got a good deal when it convinced the Kansas City Chiefs to move away from Missouri. The topic has even come up on the campaign trail. The Democratic candidate endorsed by Governor Laura Kelly, State Senator Ethan Corson, says the economic impact will be a victory for Kansas City, Kansas.
It is going to be $1 billion a year in new economic activity in that area. It is going to be 4,000 permanent jobs created.
But another Democratic candidate, State Senator Cindy Holscher, still has some concerns. She says the move is, quote, a gamble, and would have preferred more incentives for local businesses, not just corporate chains. The other Democrat running for governor, Overland Park Mayor Kurt Skoog, calls the incentives, like those in the Chiefs' deal, a key tool for growing Kansas business. A Trump administration push to gut funding for oceanic research could trigger dire consequences in, of all places, Kansas. That's according to a report released this morning. The Ocean Conservancy argues that most Kansas storms are fueled by moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. So understanding what's going on out there is critical to forecasting the weather up here. Jeff Waters with the Ocean Conservancy says the White House budget proposes deep cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's research budget.
If Congress goes along with what the administration has proposed, it would be devastating for NOAA. It would be devastating for our ocean observing capacity, and it would have very real impacts on the weather forecasts and the services that people rely on everywhere, including places like Kansas.
Kansas Senator Jerry Moran is pivotal to those decisions because he chairs the Senate subcommittee that controls NOAA's budget. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, clear skies tonight, less humid with a low in the upper 50s, sunshine for Friday with highs in the lower 80s, 40% chance of rain on Friday night. For Saturday, a 90% chance of showers and storms. Heavy rainfall is possible on Saturday. This is KPR.
Support for...
Join me, Nick Carswell, for 105 Live this week, where we're sharing the recent live performance from 105 Live at the Dole Institute of Politics with Alexa Dawson.
How deep the well from this day springs.
Emporia's Alexa Dawson is our live guest from her performance at the Dole Institute of Politics on 105 Live this week, Saturday 5 p.m. and noon Sunday on Kansas Public Radio.
An invitation to come explore reality.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
If you're 70 and a half years or older, consider making a qualified charitable distribution from your IRA to KPR today. It's a powerful way to make a lasting impact on the station you love. Details at kansaspublicradio.org under the Support tab.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. We are closing in on 7 o'clock. If you're joining us on your KPR One stations at 7 o'clock, actually 7:01, we'll have Classics Live, classical music for you till 9 o'clock, at which point we shift gears, and it's music from the vinyl vault with Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
We do have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect till 9 o'clock tonight for Allen, Lynn, Neosho, and Wilson County. So listeners on our 90.3 frequency down in Chanute have multiple ways to receive warnings tonight. A severe thunderstorm watch for you until 9 p.m. Again, that's Allen, Lynn, Neosho, and Wilson counties. It's 10 minutes before 7.
At what point would attacks between the U.S. and Iran become a return to all-out war? That story on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition comes your way. It's a great way to start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Located in Lawrence, Kansas, Blue Collar Press helps businesses and creatives build their brands through merchandising, from design to production to fulfillment. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
60 years ago this month, an F5 tornado swept through Topeka, killing 17 people, injuring hundreds more, and leaving a trail of destruction. Next time on Prairie Journal... Where were you on June 8th, 1966? Kay McIntyre is your host for Prairie Journal, getting underway just moments from now on KPR2.
Support for KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center, providing primary care, dental, mental health, or help with a chronic condition. Heartland accepts all patients, including Medicare. More information at heartlandhealth.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. The time is 7:01. Music is next.
Hello and welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and welcome also to the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College. We're at a Rule Joyce recital, or shall we say now, the Doreen Morande Professional Recital Series. To honor Doreen Morande and all of her hard work to get the best local classical artists featured in this free recital series. This concert features Kansas City soprano Jane Siemens with John Livingston at the piano. Jane Siemens has a master's in opera from the Guildhall School of Music in London. She's already sung with the Lyric Opera of Chicago, the Greater Miami Opera, and several opera companies in Europe, even sharing the stage with Placido Domingo. Now Jane Siemens and John Livingston start off with a famous aria from Puccini's Johnny Schicchi, O Mio Bambino Caro. Then they'll go right into seven popular Spanish songs by Manuel de Falla before we hear more classical, and then some Jerome Kern and George Gershwin.
Oh, Thank you. want to thank everyone for coming to share a little music experience with us. That was a fabulous, one of the most famous compositions by Mexican composer Manuel Ponce, exploring quiet loving and longing. And so I just love that rendition. And now we're going to be performing Alfonsina y el Mar by Ariel Ramirez. He did a tribute album to Argentinian women. And this was about Alfonsina Storni. She's a 20th century poet. And in the 1920s, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And in that time, there was no cure. Her cure was to walk into the ocean, never to be seen again. Sorry, I get choked up every time I talk about this. And I know we've all experienced in our lifetimes situations like that, life and death situations. But in this treatment, her decision is referenced reverently and longingly and embracingly.
Three.
I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Cinema Paradiso, the one Best Foreign Language Academy Award film a number of years ago. But the music was by Ennio Morricone, and if anyone watches Turner Classic Movies, they just did a documentary on him, and he was smiling almost more than any other thing he talked about the score that he did to this movie. And it's all about longing and love. Little Toto, who grows up in a small small Sicilian village, his father dies in World War II, and he befriends the projectionist at the local cinema named Alfredo. Alfredo teaches everything he knows about film, and he falls in love with filmmaking and becomes a filmmaker himself. And at the beginning of the film is when Tito has been asked to come back to his little town because Alfredo had passed away. And it's all about reconnecting with the reason you exist through his love for Alfredo. Sorry, I get tearing up with this one too. And the love for his first love that he met in the town. And Alfredo finds a way, I won't tell you the whole story if you haven't seen it, to rekindle Tito's love for the cinema again. So if you have a chance, if you haven't seen it before, or watch the Ennio Morricone documentary, it's fabulous. And now for something completely different. A medley of Jerome Kern, lighter songs, all about different aspects of love from his movies and musicals that he scored.
I won't dance, don't ask me. Chase in your chest. chowder. But all your posts turn me into a doubter. Of my romance with no clinches. Of my romance with no pinches. You're just
ending with a classic, George Gershwin, from Porgy and Bess. That was Kansas City soprano Jane Siemens, accompanied by pianist John Livingston, who has done collaborative piano with major area choirs, ensembles, and musical theaters, including the Midwest Chamber Ensemble and the Lyric Opera of Kansas City. He teaches music at Avila University. Soprano Jane Siemens has performed all over the world. After studying singing at the Interlochen Academy of the Arts and then the University of Michigan before she studied further in London, Chubb Smith captured this Rule Joyce Doreen Morande recital for Kansas Public Radio's local classical program, Classics Live. Check KPR's website for a streaming version of this program and on the Classics Live page. I'm Cordelia Brown, and thank you so much for listening. Thanks for joining us. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. another recording made by the engineers of Kansas Public Radio. That was from the Sunflower Music Festival 2007. It was the third duo for flute and viola by Francois Devienne. And it was Marianne Gadigian, flutist, and the late violist Roger Myers. Thanks for listening to Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio. You can find out more about our series and listen to a stream of the concert at kansaspublicradio.org on the Classics Live page.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the Lead Center, where tickets are available for upcoming performances, including the New York Philharmonic String Quartet and a cappella group Chanticleer. Details at lead.ku.edu. And Security Benefit, with 6 decades of experience helping customers align their assets with their retirement aspirations. Details on products, careers, and company legacy at securitybenefit.com. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find classical music and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A key surveillance tool that allows the U.S. to collect intelligence abroad will likely expire tomorrow. That's because Congress failed to temporarily extend the program today in a protest of President Trump's temporary pick to head the nation's intelligence agencies, who has no intelligence experience. Trump put forward a new nominee today, Jay Clayton, but he won't be confirmed before the FISA surveillance authorization expires, as NPR's Eric McDaniel explains.
Both chambers of Congress have left town. That's bad in that it shows the president doesn't have a lot of regard for congressional realities right now. He didn't even have to announce Pulte when he did. It was sort of an unforced rake stump. But it's not so scary because FISA can still be used for many months under existing authorization. So unless a lot of telecom companies stop providing these communications, which is unlikely but not impossible, the government will still be able to use it without issue.
NPR's Eric McDaniel reporting. The Trump administration says it's suspending homelessness funding for Los Angeles, citing financial mismanagement. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports federal officials say they'll investigate the local agency that oversees the money.
The move is the latest blow to the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, or LASA, which has long coordinated services for both L.A., city, and county. Last year, audits found it failed to properly track spending or the outcome of programs. The county then said it would pull its local money out of the agency, and the city of L.A. was considering the same. Now, the federal housing agency HUD says it will investigate whether LASA broke any laws in its handling of federal contracts. In a statement, the local agency said it's already working to improve oversight. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass noted that homelessness there has finally come down the past 2 years and said HUD's actions would jeopardize that progress. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
Public transit agencies across the U.S. will move millions of fans to World Cup matches. NPR's Joel Rose reports tensions are already mounting over recent problems at the main rail hub in New York City.
NJ Transit is so worried about problems at New York's Penn Station that it's chartered 2 large boats to ferry fans across the Hudson River after matches if necessary. The agency's CEO, Chris Kaluri, says he told a top aide to start working on a backup plan during a recent string of infrastructure failures at Penn Station.
Lance, I think I texted you at some like ungodly hour and said, yeah, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Kaluri says he will not hesitate to blame any rail problems on Amtrak, which owns Penn Station and the nearby tracks. Amtrak officials say they're prepared to deliver smooth and reliable service. The first match in New Jersey is set for Saturday. Joel Rose, NPR News.
U.S. producer prices climbed last month after the fastest pace since November 2022, fueled by surging energy prices. The producer price index shows inflation before it reaches consumers, and it jumped 6.5% from May of last year. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Andrew Carnegie Foundation, formerly Carnegie Corporation of New York, working to reduce political polarization through support for education, democracy, and peace. More information at carnegie.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate June 11th. For sky watchers in the United States, a grouping in the western evening sky right now is a case of the haves and have-mores. The group is visible across the entire country, but the view gets better as you move farther south. The group features the planets Venus, Jupiter, and Mercury, and the stars Pollux and Castor, the twins of Gemini. Venus is the brightest member, with the twins to its right and Jupiter and Mercury to its lower right. All five members of the group are near the ecliptic, the sun's path across the sky, and the angle of the ecliptic varies by latitude. As seen from the equator, the ecliptic stands almost straight up from the horizon at sunset. The sun drops straight down below the horizon, so the sky darkens quickly. At the same time, Venus and the others stand fairly high above the horizon. They're still well up as twilight fades. As you go farther north, the ecliptic tilts toward the south. The farther north you are, the greater that angle. So when the sun sets, it doesn't drop straight down. It also slides across the horizon. As a result, the sky remains bright for much longer than it does at the equator. Venus and the others are lower in the sky at sunset, so they're more likely to be blocked by trees or mountains. And they're immersed in the twilight longer. That leaves less time to enjoy this beautiful group of planets and stars in the evening sky. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry. Thank you.
That's the gorgeous China Gates, performed by Gloria Cheng on Kansas Public Radio. It's an early work by composer John Adams. He describes it as his Opus 1. China Gates by John Adams. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. The inspiration for my choosing the next piece was a recent performance of Moby Dick, the Sea Shanty, at Kansas City's Music Theater Heritage. This is Peter Menon's Moby Dick, performed by the Seattle Symphony Orchestra. You won't hear anything like the sound of a white whale, but you may catch some hints of a sea shanty in the opening. Menon's Moby Dick, performed by the Seattle Symphony Orchestra on Kansas Public Radio. Moby Dick by Peter Menon on Kansas Public Radio. That was performed by the Seattle Symphony Orchestra, Gerald Schwartz conducting. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Later this hour, we'll hear Vivaldi's Cello Sonata, but just ahead, a little Malcolm Arnold for this Thursday evening. Support for classical music on Kansas Public Radio comes from Love Garden Sounds, buying and selling compact discs, vinyl records, stereo equipment, and more at 822 Mass Street in Lawrence. More at lovegardensounds.com. Your $20 or $30 a month may seem small, but it can make a big difference. Your sustaining gift, along with those of your fellow members, all add up to a big impact over time. Sustain the future of excellent radio. You can do it today. It takes just a few minutes at kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks. Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre. Now some Malcolm Arnold. We'll hear his trio for flute, viola, and bassoon, followed by Fantasy for oboe. It's the Nash Ensemble on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
the Nash Ensemble, and Malcolm Arnold's Fantasy for Oboe on Kansas Public Radio. Before that, we heard Arnold's trio for flute, viola, and bassoon. From the University of Kansas, we're Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Olsburg Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the LMH Heart Health Center, providing cardiovascular testing, procedures, and preventive care. More information is available at lmh.org/heart. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. We'll finish up the hour with a cello sonata by Antonio Vivaldi. It's the Ensemble Sonore on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, we're Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3, K210CR in Atchison 89.9, and K258BT in Manhattan at 99.5. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre. I've enjoyed spending this part of Thursday evening with you. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for Classics by Request with Destiny. It's the show where you pick the playlist. Classics by Request from 9 till noon tomorrow morning on KPER. Coming up next, it's the latest news from NPR, followed by jazz on Kansas Public Radio.
At Morning Edition, we bring you as close to the news as possible.
We saw Iran launch a missile with a dangerous cluster bomb warhead that hit an apartment building here in Tel Aviv, just a few minutes' drive from me in Tel Aviv.
Join us for on-the-ground reporting and stay informed about the biggest global and national stories every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has canceled planned strikes in Iran, claiming once again that a peace deal is near. The latest pronouncement comes hours after he threatened to take the key Iranian energy hub, Karg Island. It still isn't clear how the war will end, as NPR's Mara Liasson explains.
He's in a box of his own making. He wants the war to end. It is hurting him and his party politically. But the only way out is to do things he promised not to do and attack President Obama for doing, like providing funds to Iran. And for their part, the Iranians also are looking for a face-saving off-ramp, something they can get in return for opening the Strait of Hormuz. So neither side can figure out the solution to this, a face-saving plan for the U.S. and Iran. Meanwhile, we get this Trump dance, threats one day and backing off the next day.
NPR's Mara Liasson reporting. The Supreme Court has rejected Alabama's request to execute a man with nitrogen gas. The justices refused to lift an injunction blocking the state from carrying out the nation's ninth execution by that method. A lower court found the method to be unconstitutional. Alabama had planned to put 49-year-old Jeffrey Lee to death. He was convicted of killing two people while robbing a pawn shop in 1998. President Trump is opening the waters of protected areas in the Pacific Ocean to commercial fishing. The move is opposed by Native Hawaiian cultural groups, as NPR's Lauren Sommer reports.
The largest protected area in the country is in the northwestern Hawaiian Islands. Papahānaumokuakea National Marine Sanctuary is home to pristine coral reefs and habitat for rare species. Trump has signed a proclamation to open most of its waters to commercial fishing, along with two other Pacific marine monuments. The move is supported by the tuna fishing industry, which says it's facing tough international competition. Conservation groups say rolling back protections puts the unique ecosystem at risk. The area is also considered sacred by Native Hawaiian cultural groups who fought for decades for it to receive protections. Lauren Sommer, NPR News.
A judge has dismissed a lawsuit challenging New Mexico's universal child care program. From member station KUNM in Albuquerque, Megan Kamerick has more.
The program made New Mexico the first state to cover child care costs for most families. Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, who is term limited out after this year, launched the program last year, before the legislature actually approved funding in February. Republican Duke Rodriguez sued the state while running for governor, although he recently lost the primary election. He told New Mexico PBS this policy has to be done lawfully.
Which means we have to have public input, which means we have to have feasibility studies, which means we have to know how much it costs.
The ruling means parents who are working in school or qualify for an exemption will continue to receive free child care assistance. For NPR News, I'm Megan Kamerick in Albuquerque.
U.S. stocks rallied to their best day in 2 months today, and oil prices fell after President Trump called off his threat to bomb Iran. This is NPR. A man who assassinated the top Minnesota Democratic House Speaker, Melissa Hortman, and her husband has pleaded guilty to avoid the death penalty. Vance Belter is also charged with in the non-fatal shootings of a Democratic state senator and his wife. He came to their houses disguised as a police officer and driving a fake police vehicle. As the U.S. works to improve student reading, a new report suggests many aspiring teachers are not being adequately prepared to teach students how to read. NPR's Caden Mills reports.
The report from the National Council on Teacher Quality looks at more than 700 elementary teacher prep programs across the U.S. and finds only about half prepare educators to teach according to the science of reading. And very few programs adequately equip teachers to teach reading to English language learners, who make up a growing share of students. Federal testing shows a majority of students struggle to read at grade level. Lacking most in teacher prep programs is instruction on how to teach students to distinguish different sounds and recognize what letters they go with, according to the report. The report also notes programs may be hiding from accountability by not participating in the review. Most programs that opted out had previously received failing scores. Caden Mills, NPR News.
The future of Doctor Who is uncertain after the BBC canceled a planned Christmas special. The broadcaster says it aims to invest in the show's long-term future and is seeking new production partners. Doctor Who first aired in 1963. It's entertained generations of fans with more than a dozen actors playing in the lead role. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms. Thank you.
The music of pianist, composer, arranger Duke Pearson, opening Jazz in the Night tonight on Kansas Public Radio. It's the time of the week for the all-vinyl Jazz Hour, and that was from an LP called The Right Touch, Blue Note Recording 1967, a really nice reissue of this on vinyl in 2023. And Duke Pearson leading an 8-piece band, writing all the music, doing the arrangements, and on that one, the featured soloist along with Duke Pearson was trumpeter Freddie Hubbard. Good evening, I'm Bob McWilliams. In a little bit, we're going to hear an album called Soul Sisters, organist Gloria Coleman's quartet for the Impulse record label. We'll also dive into the very recently reissued debut album of trumpeter Charles Tolliver. Here's a pretty recent one, came out late last year. Horace Silver, Silver in Seattle, live at the Penthouse, never-before-released recordings at that club in Seattle, and a really nice album here, and great packaging, really high-quality vinyl, wonderful booklet full of essays and photos, and the band, Woody Shaw on trumpet, Joe Henderson tenor sax, Teddy Smith bass, Roger Humphreys drums, at the piano, Horace Silver in his composition, No Smokin', here on KPR.